I asked Helen if she had a few thoughts to share this afternoon, and she said she would. Helen is, we'll pray for Helen afterwards. She's going away on Thursday morning to the States for a break, and we shall miss her. So we've put her to work on the last Sunday with us. So we look forward to hearing what the Spirit of God says through Helen. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your love towards us, and we pray that this afternoon that you'll reveal more of yourself to us.
Amen.
Because we ask it in your name. Very short word this afternoon, but I hope that we can be encouraged by it. I want to ask, what can happen when you fall into a pit, and who you may meet there? First, we need to know that a pit can mean different things to different people. The pit you might fall into might be a pit of sin, something that, you know, shouldn't be doing. Might be a habit. Might be wrong relationships, wrong lifestyles. It might be a financial pit, where you get yourself all tied up with your money. It could be bereavement, because at times like that, we have a tendency to feel a little low at the time, don't we? Could be stress. Could be sicknesses or disabilities. A pit to each one of us could be something different. So now we've found ourselves in a pit, we think, great, at least I've got some friends. These friends were going to try and help me out of my despair. So you're in your pit, and here comes Simon. Simon is a very subjective person, and he says, oh, I really feel for you. Sometimes we just try and console people to show that we care, and that's a good thing. Owen, the objective person, will say that he thinks it was only logical that somebody would fall into the pit at some time. After all, it wasn't shielded. There was no fence round it. So I would have expected somebody to fall in. Paul the Pharisee will be convinced that only a bad person would fall into the pit. It was your sin that caused you to fall in the pit, so it's all your fault. I'm a Pharisee. I'd never fall into a pit. I'm far too spiritual. Now, Jason the journalist, he's another guy, and he will want an exclusive story on your pit. He'll want to know what's going on down there. But he'll want to know, because he's a journalist, so that he can gossip, and so that he can tell everybody how you fell. Now, Mary the mathematician will calculate how you fell into the pit. Some people just want to work out why. Some people just want to know why it happened, how it happened. They don't really care that you're in the pit, they just want to know how it happened. Tony the taxman will want to know if you're paying tax on the pit. Mm-hmm. Because some folk believe that you have to pay for your sins, and that you fall again as a result of some sort of judgment. And sometimes it is. Samuel, who is full of self-pity, offers to show you his own pit. You'll always find someone who thinks that their problems are bigger than yours, or worse than yours, or even better than yours. Chloe, the cliche queen, will tell you to take care. It could be dangerous in the pit. And we know we should be casting care, not taking it. Olive, the optimist, will try to cheer you up, saying that things could be a lot worse. And Patrick, the pessimist, will assure you that things will definitely get worse. Dean, the doctor, will tell you that you'll get better, but you'll have to live with it. Take these pills. As long as you're not in pain, it'll be all right. Chris the charismatic will advise you to confess that you're not in the pit. So have we missed anybody out? Have you recognised yourself in any of these people? But these aren't the only people that are around. But Jesus, seeing you in a pit, takes you by the hand and lifts you out. All these other people, you're still in the pit. But when Jesus takes you, when Jesus sees that you're in the pit, he wants to take you out. You don't stay in that pit. You get taken out. What is your pit this afternoon? Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. Amen. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations that we do. Amen. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter again. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Yes. We've been challenged for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
In Matthew 6:33, we don't have to turn to it because we all know it. We're seeking the kingdom. We're seeking the King of the kingdom. It does not read, seek your own kingdom first.
No.
When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we pray, thy kingdom come. Not my kingdom come, thy kingdom come. In seeking him first, we need to give ourselves to prayer. Nothing's going to change in our lives until we are prepared to go his way and die to ourselves. It's only when we kill this flesh off that God can do anything with our hearts and with our lives that is going to encourage other people. Crucify your flesh. It tells you that you have to die daily. Have any of us died today? You say, well, of course I've not. I'm still breathing. But what I'm actually saying is that we need to die to the sin in our lives. It's so easy to think, I'll just do it and I'll put it on. Many years ago, there was a girl called Louise who used to come here. Not this Louise. And one afternoon, we sat down joking. And I wrote Grace a message in shorthand. I'm not going to tell you what all the message was. But one of the questions I sent to her was, why should we do this when we can repent? Now the truth of the matter is, we can repent from all our sins. But the suggestion that we were jokingly making that afternoon was, well, it doesn't matter what we do, because we can repent. It does matter. It matters all the time. Because yes, you can repent, but who else's life have you affected by your lifestyle, by your sin, by your remarks, by your comments? We don't only live for ourselves, we live in a world where other people see us. Andrew was telling you how when I first came to the Lord, how I watched them too like a hawk. And the minute that they would have stepped out of line, I would have had them. Because I knew what Christians were supposed to live like. And I knew that Christians didn't live like they were supposed to live like. So I watched. And I watched. And I'm happy to say I didn't have to confront. Because the thing is, if we're living for Christ and we put in Him first, He will make sure that you don't slip up in front of the wrong people. He will protect you. Not saying that they're perfect, because we know that they're not. But in God's eyes, we are all perfect the moment we get saved. We are perfect and being made perfect, because we still fall from time to time. So it's not a case of telling God what we want, what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want you to give me. Sometimes it's a case of what would you have me to do. Sometimes He puts desires in our hearts because He wants us to do these things. Sometimes He'll take desires that you have away from you. And they're not always sinful desires. Sometimes you have to give up nice things to walk closer with Him.
Yeah.
And it's natural that we've got desires and needs. And common sense tells us that bad habits and sin is a hindrance. Sickness can prevent you from doing certain things. And as I've found out over the years, so can being overweight. Being overweight can be a hindrance. I've lost about 4 stone over the last few years. And I'm doing things today that 4 or 5 years ago, I'd given up on doing them because I knew I couldn't do it. And yet today, I'm fitter, not because I'm running around at the gym, but purely and simply because I ain't carrying that extra weight. You think about it. You pick £56 worth of gross in weight, £56 worth of weight in groceries up, and you'll know that you're carrying them. Well, I've shed that. But if I was to pick that £56 up in a couple of bags, you'd be thinking, wow, I didn't feel this, but you're carrying it. And sometimes, as I say, your lifestyles can be a hindrance as well, you know, other than your sins. But the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do anything. But in order to do all things through Christ that strengthens me, it may be that He's strengthening you to do something about the way that you're living now. It might be strengthening you to do something about your lifestyle, about the way you deal with your finances, and about many other aspects of your lives. What we need to do is, if we're going to see this kingdom of God established in our lives, we need to get on our knees, stop looking at what we want, and let Him place His desires within us. Because it's only then, when we're walking close to Him, that we're going to get out of these pits. Tommy Tenney, many a time you'll hear him say that we seek His face, not His hands. And we have a tendency to look and think, I need this. God, please supply me with this. But it's not that. It's God. I love you. Father, if you never give me another thing, I love you. Your dad, when you're growing up, my dad was hardly ever there. He was always in the pub. But if I got into a tricky situation and I was to tell my dad, you better watch out, because daddy's coming. And if your natural father is going to protect you and look after you, how much more is God? God's not inhibited or restricted by things that are going around us, because He's the provider of everything. He can supply all our needs. The God that created everything can surely supply it. And if He hasn't got one in the warehouse, He can create another one. And He'll create it just the way that you want it. What He's saying to us today, He's come up higher.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's holding out His hand to you right now.
Yeah.
He wants to get you out of your pit. But are you going to take it? Are you going to take His hand and say, yes, Lord, I'll come. I want to come out of that pit. I need to receive You as my Saviour. I need to be filled with Your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I need to receive Your healing. I need You to resolve my financial situation. Wherever our pit is this afternoon, will you reach out to God right now and ask him to take you by the hand. But in order to take something by the hand, this has to happen. See what happened there? As I reached out to Joan, Joan reached out to me. You don't take somebody by the hand by forcing your hand in the pocket to get the hand out of the pocket to pull them out. When you take him by the hand, he wants a response from you. Lord, take me by the hand. I'm reaching out for you. Now we're reaching out for him this afternoon. Can we just pray a moment, please? I'm not going to make an appeal for you to come to the front. But I'm going to ask everybody, and I'm already standing, so I'm counting myself in this. Anybody that wants to take him by the hand and let him lead you in your lifestyles, get you out of your pit. I'm going to ask you if you'd stand, please. Father, this afternoon, we hear your word. And we say, Lord, that we reach out to you.
Amen.
And we say, take us by the hand.
Yes.
And lead us out of the pit.
Amen.
To each one of us, this pit is going to be different.
Yes.
But Father, you are the all-knowing God. And you know. You know what we need.
Yes.
And we put ourselves in your hands.
Yes.
And we declare that we will seek your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We will put aside our own agendas. And we will seek your face and your path.
Yes.
And we ask in the name of Jesus that you will lift us up and draw us closer to you, because we know that in ourselves we can do nothing. But in you all the fullness of the Godhead is available to us.
Yes.
And we receive of that fullness this afternoon. And we draw upon your Holy Spirit. And we say, come Holy Spirit, minister to each one of our lives and guide us in the truth. Jesus said that you would come and you would be a comforter to us. And that you would lead us into all truth. Lead us into truth, Holy Spirit. We would have it no other way. Amen. You may be seated. If there is anybody that needs salvation, I think we are all saved here this afternoon, but if there is anybody that needs salvation, please don't be afraid to speak to someone. And we can lead you in a prayer to the Lord. Amen.